Love God, love others, make disciples. That's who we are. It's what we do. It's why it matters. But this morning, just some introductory thoughts on the subject of the church. So Hebrews chapter 10 is where I've asked you to turn this morning. Hebrews 10, we're going to read verses 19 through 25. Our custom is to stand for the opening reading of Scripture, so if you're able to, stand with us. I'll read these verses. It's on page 1109 if you've got one of those Bibles we just handed out. The Bible says this: "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Let's pray. Father, thank you for these moments we have together. Bless the teaching of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks, everybody. You may be seated. So just three quick things, and you don't have a note sheet. Again, I apologize. Just wasn't ready to have a note sheet for you in the bulletin, so if you want to jot these notes somewhere, please feel free to do so. Number one, the church. It's a family, not a club. Okay? It's a family, not a club. One of the things I love about this text is the continued references to verse 22, let us draw near. Verse number 23, let us hold fast. Verse number 24, let us consider. It's this idea of let us, not hey you. Hey you, you need to do this. Hey you, you need to act differently. Hey you, this needs to be a priority. Hey, it's not a hey you attitude, it's a let us disposition. And so we see this here and we see it throughout Scripture, this idea that we are a family, not a club. So you've got Sam's Club, and so who are my Sam's Club people? Okay, self-identify, and then who are the Costco people, you know? Okay, and is there anybody that's both? Oh, wow, okay, we had a few there at the 9 o'clock service too. So both those things have in common is you've got to have the card, right? You've got to have the card. You can't, you know, you can't check out. Sometimes you can't even walk in unless you've got the card. And you need to be a member of the club in order to do that. Now, we do have a church membership here, full disclosure, for legal and governance reasons. But our philosophy and if you come to the new members classes that we do, you'll hear full-throated, we're not about creating a class system here at Adventure Church. You know, if you're here, you're part of the family, because that needs to be the fabric of how we identify ourselves as a community together. It's such an important part of what we want our church to be about, and it's all connected by the finished work of Jesus. It says here, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. It's all foundational in our relationship with Jesus. That's what draws us together as a family of faith. When you look at Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus in John chapter 3, so John 3:16, for God so loved the world, part of that conversation, you go back to the very beginning of the chapter, is Jesus having a conversation with Nicodemus, who is one of the religious leaders, and he's telling him that he has to be born again. And this is like really confusing to Nicodemus, because he doesn't understand how he can enter into his mother's womb again and be born. And Jesus is trying to teach about a spiritual birth that needs to take place in our lives so that we are birthed into this new family of faith. So we recognize the church as being a family and not a club. And one of the things that we like to say, it's an adventurism, if you will, is if you've been here if this is your first time, or you've been here from the very beginning, it's our hope and it's our desire that you feel like a part of our church family. And we want to create a sense of belonging even before believing. You can belong before you believe. We're glad that you're here, and it's our responsibility. If this is your church, it is your responsibility. We share the responsibility of nurturing that culture in the church. So I want to encourage you, as you're greeting folks and as you're interacting with folks and as you're mixing with folks before the service, after the service, in the parking lot, that we're doing all that we can to foster that sense of family. We believe in it so much, and as we've been thinking about the future a lot and thinking about what's next, We've decided to do a little bit of rebranding as it comes to our web presence, and Pastor Jordan's been really influential in a lot of this, with some of this new website stuff. So our new, and this is not online yet, but it should be going online soon, that and our email addresses, acyc.family. And, you know, it's not .com, it's not .net, it's not .org, it's not .tv, it's .family, because we want to foster, we want to just inculcate this culture of Adventure Church of Yuba City family, ACYC family. And I got a little tired of every time someone asked my email address, pastorgreg@adventurechurchyc.org. There's not enough room on the papers whenever I have to fill that out. So greg@acyc.family, brant@acyc.family, all the different email addresses, because we want family to be front and center, because it's a family, not a club. But can we be honest? Families can be complicated. Families can be complicated. Like, I'm so glad so-and-so is back home, you know, after the holidays or back wherever. Families can be complicated. I love this story. This guy is walking down the road, and there's like one of those sandwich board signs like out in front of the restaurant, and it says, you know, come on in, we'll treat you like family. And he's like, I'm not going in there. You know, I don't want to go to a place I'm treated like family. Families can be complicated. Families bring challenges. We had a great time. So I was gone last week. My wife and I, a week ago, we were celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary. And we went to Disneyland. So there's a shot of us at Disneyland. And I have to tell you that, you know, obviously, you know, Disney bought Star Wars, and now there's, and we haven't been to Disneyland in a few years, and there's Star Wars stuff everywhere at Disneyland. But I just wanted to assure you all, in case you were worried, that I've come back the same mature, measured senior pastor that I was when I left. So it's all good. It's all under control. I wasn't changed in the least bit. I'm still the same. Anyway, no. I was like, they got Star Wars bunny, Mickey Mouse ears. I got to get those. So we had a great time while we were gone. I surprised Tracy with a vow renewal ceremony on the beach in Oceanside. So that was super, super cool. If you follow me on Facebook, you can see some of that. Kayla took a video of it. We posted it. I got to admit, though, because it is literally like the biggest surprise I've ever pulled off in our 25 years of marriage. And I'm struggling a little bit with how does, like, keeping a secret for a surprise for your spouse and lying to them, like how does that work, like, theologically with God? Like, I'm not sure. So if you have any insight on that, please let me know. We got to the restaurant where we did the surprise proposal, and Harold and Chris were there. This was my daughter-in-law's parents who are part of our church. And we were just so glad it was over, because we've literally been keeping this secret for months from her. And he said, I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but you're my pastor, and I've never lied as much since meeting you. So anyway, so if you have any insight on that, please let me know, because we kept that from her. But we had a great time. But we had lots of people tell us, man, you're going to have so much fun because Disneyland is so much fun, so much more fun without kids. And I don't know if anyone else can attest to that, but we were like, wow, like it seemed weird planning a trip to Disneyland without our children. And the truth is, we had a great time. We had a great time. You know, I kind of feel bad, sorry, not sorry. And one of the things that we did, I put this whole like Disneyland musings thing on Facebook. You can check that out. Someone in the comments said, these are kindly sarcastic. And I was like, well, sarcasm is my spiritual gift. So thankfully. But these are some things I didn't put. We're just kind of like making a list of things that either we didn't say or we didn't hear with not having kids around, which I thought was interesting. So not once did we hear, I want to push the button. And you have kids, you know, like crossing the street. And it's like, you know, it's like a holy war to like who pushes the button to cross the street. Never had to say, because I'm the parent and you're the child. Didn't have to say that one time. Didn't hear any variation of, this line's too long, my feet hurt, I'm bored. Not once, at least not from our kids. You know, we hear from other kids, but not from our kids. We never heard this, will you carry me? No. this is what we do in our family whenever we're with the kids. Stay in front of us, not behind us. So the kids aren't allowed to be behind us. They've got to be in front of us. When we take this long walk to the park, stay in front of us. And it's usually followed by, stop, you're too far ahead. Come back closer. So I didn't have to say that. And then the last one is, you're not going to ruin this day. We didn't have to say or hear any of that the entire time. So we, you know, we love our family. We love our kids. We're all about family. But families can be complicated. Families can be a challenge. And we recognize that even within the context of this. Because why? Because we're a whole bunch of imperfect people. We're a whole bunch of imperfect people. So acceptance is a huge part of what we strive to be about. Caleb Kaltenbach was here with us. He wrote the book Messy Grace, about how the church can better engage with LGBTQ issues in our culture. He put this on his Facebook recently. I thought it was really good. I wanted to share it as part of this weekend. Real love is based on acceptance. Cheap love relies on total agreement. Just because someone disagrees with you doesn't mean that they don't love you. And I just find that to be so true, that we make sure that we understand the differences between acceptance and approval. We can accept, and we should accept, and I hope that we will foster that culture here in our church, because it is a family, not a club. So let me encourage you, embrace your family this year. Not just your family, although do that as well, but in this context of the church, this family, make together a priority. This year, embrace it. So it's a family, not a club. Number two, it's a body, not a business. It's a body, not a business. Now, we do business things, okay? We're a 501c3 nonprofit organization with our paperwork filed with the Secretary of State in the state of California. We have a finance team. We have a budget. We have, we've got financial controls. We've got governance policies with, you know, constitution and bylaws. We have those things. But that's not what drives us, and that's not what makes us what we are. We're a body of believers, not a business. I love what it says here. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. There's something we're supposed to be doing. Body works. Body moves in a certain way. And what we're to be doing is stirring up one another to love and to good works. We are part of a body. Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians. This is the only other text we're going to look at. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and it's probably a familiar one to most of you, but I wanted to take the time to read through it because it's just so incredibly instructive, and it brings such a great visual element to this conversation about what it means to be a body in the church. Verse 12, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. So he's given us this example of just like we have different parts of our body make us one body, so it is with Christ, the body of Christ. There are many different parts, but there is one body. For in one spirit, verse 13, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, like Mike Wazowski, who I just saw last week, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that it lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. So everyone has a part. Everyone has a role. Everyone has something that is indispensable to the whole. And I want to encourage you in that regard as it relates to, again, the context of the church. And we think about all the, and I could go through the laundry list of, you know, being a greeter and usher and playing an instrument or making coffee or serving with our kids or with our teenagers or helping out with administrative tasks in the office or the media. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. But the encouragement is to find out what your role is. Find out what your place is. Find out how you can serve and be a part of the body, because that is what we need to be a part, because it's a body, not a business. So embrace your family this year. Embrace your role this year. Embrace your role this year. If you're a part of this church, you have a role. Say, Pastor Greg, I don't know what my role is. I'm so glad you asked. Because we want to help you find and discover what your role might be. And for this season, for this time, as we enter into this year, we want to again encourage you about the Midweek Huddle, which meets on Wednesday evenings, as an opportunity to discover and develop and to deploy the gifting that you might have in your life. Now that's a six. Oh, it changed it. Where's Jordan? That was awesome. That was I had the wrong slide up earlier. So thank you guys for taking care of that for me. It's 6 o'clock, not 6:30, because as he mentioned, we started this last year. We didn't know what it was going to look like, and we just knew we had to do something. We had to do something because we weren't being effective in creating the health that we felt we needed to here at the church. And so it's done a lot of amazing things, but there have been some things that have been a shortfall, one of those being it's super, super rushed. And so we're moving the food part closer to the front. And so we get a little bit more time for teaching, a little bit more time for interaction, a little bit more time for questions around the table. And to really, because one of our desires was to be able to go deeper, and we just haven't felt we've really gotten there yet. And so we're really excited about the huddle. And I want to encourage you, if Wednesday night is an option for you, and it's not for everybody, to allow that to be a stop for you in your process spiritually, to have a little bit more of a conversational opportunity with your faith and with other people, getting to know people, discovering, developing, and deploying your gifting and what your role might be. We want to help you with that, and I hope that this will be a year that you really do discover, man, this is what I've been gifted to do, and I'm doing it in the context of the body of Adventure Church of Yuba City, okay, as represented through the body of Christ. The last thing, really quick, it's a hospital, not a museum, okay? It's a hospital, not a museum. He says there again, Hebrews 10, he says, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near, encouraging one another. This is a place where folks need to be encouraged and helped and strengthened. And what we find at a museum is that is not the case. At a museum, here's the museum I was at this last week. Yes? Star Wars Launch Bay in Disneyland, okay? So, you know, you go in there and everything, if any museum you go into, everything's behind glass, right? You can look, but you can't touch. You can take pictures, but you can't take anything home. It's all very pristine. It's all very closed off. And that is not the church. The church is not a place for us just to come and look shiny and pristine and to take pictures and just be in awe. Isn't this amazing? The church is a hospital, which is more looks like this, where there's people, and sometimes it's messy, and sometimes, you know, there's a crowd, and sometimes we're next to people, and we're like, I don't know, I want to be next to that person, and you're getting poked, and you're getting prodded, and you know, they're shining a light in your ear and putting a depressor down your tongue, and you know, they're shots and IVs and all that kind of stuff. That's what a church is. It's a hospital. It's not a place to come and be seen. It's a place to come and be helped and encouraged, because we are all have a rash or a fever or a broken bone, or there's something going on in our lives. There's something happening in us that needs what the church can provide in support and encouragement and hope and help and friendship and community and all the rest. We are surrounded by people who need encouragement. We're admonished in the epistles to build up the body of Christ. So I want to encourage you to embrace your opportunity this year. Embrace your opportunity. Be on the lookout for ways that you can encourage other people. Look around the room. Before you even get to your car this morning, let me encourage you to find a tangible way that you can encourage someone and build them up, because this is not a museum. It's a hospital. Not a museum for saints, but a hospital for sinners. I'm grateful for the church, and I'm grateful for this church. It ain't a perfect place, and it certainly doesn't have a perfect leader. But I'm grateful for the opportunities that God gives us to walk and do life together. And I want to encourage you to make church a priority in 2019. That's an easy thing for me to say as the pastor. I totally get that. And there are lots of things. There are lots of other things you can do. I had someone joke with me on the way in, 9 o'clock service, because it's just a ugly, nasty, gnarly day out there. And she said, "It better be good today." I was like, "Wow, no pressure. No pressure there. I'll try my best." So after, I was like, "So, is it worth coming out to church?" He was like, "It was good. It was good." I was like, "Okay." Whew. But seriously, there's so many things. And they're great. Man, say, I can sit home and watch Francis Chan on my phone. It's going to be way better than what you're going to get here. I can listen to great music. I mean, we have so much available to us outside of the walls of the church. But this is still God's design and invention. It's His, not mine. Make it a priority. Make it a priority. And we make time for the things that are a priority for us. And we know that every aspect of life. When there's something that we really know is valuable that we need to do, we make the time for it because it's a priority. Let me encourage you that. You need the church, but more so the church needs you. It makes a difference when you're here. It makes a difference when you're not. And if you're one of those who would say, "I don't really need what the church offers because I can find my spiritual, I can have the spiritual side," I disagree with that, but if we even use that as an argument, okay, we need you. When you're not here, we miss something. It's like a hand not being here, the finger's not here, a foot's not here, something's not here when you're not here. So let me just encourage you, as your pastor, as you look forward to 2019, you're going to miss, "I missed last week." I mean, we're going to miss church. But let that be the exception and not the rule. Make it a priority this year. Don't neglect to meet together, as the habit of some is, but even more so as you see the day drawing near. John Stott, fascinating quote: "An unchurched Christian is a grotesque anomaly. The New Testament knows nothing of such a person. For the church lies at the very center of the eternal purpose of God. It is not a divine afterthought. It is not an accident of history. On the contrary, the church is God's new community." There's no such thing in the Bible as a Christian not attached to a church. That's how New Testament community demonstrated itself. And our community and our country is full of Christians who aren't connected to a community, who aren't connected to a church. And that's a shame, because the church is not as strong with their absence as it would be with their presence. Let me encourage you to make it a priority this year. And as we consider what God's new community ought look like, I want to close this morning before we have communion with a video that we showed a couple years ago. We always do a movie weekend here at the church. And a couple years ago, we did The Resurrection of Gavin Stone with director Dallas Jenkins. And I had a great time with him, and if you haven't seen The Resurrection of Gavin Stone, I certainly highly recommend it. But as part of that film, they put together a spoken word video called "This Is What We Do," and we did a whole series on it. And I just wanted to close with that. Some of you have seen it, some of you haven't seen it, and it really captures our hope, again, in this perfectly imperfect adventure that we call the church. This will be the third time I've seen it. Last night I was like, "Yeah, we don't do that very good. And first service, I was like, "Yeah, that one needs a little bit of work." Okay, so we're not saying this is where we are. We're saying this is where we want to be. Okay, and I hope this will be just a good clarion call for us as we enter into 2019, that this is the kind of church that we are. Who we are, what we do, and why it matters. Check it out, and then we'll have communion together. Powerful word, and one that I hope we'll take with us as we leave today and enter into a brand new year together.